just keep connected in your spirit, where we with Jesus right now. As we just, I've just got a short word to share with you, and as I said, Liz and I had such a sense that the Lord wanted to take us higher tonight, deeper, and it's. The way has been made for us. The way has been made. Every resistance has been taken out of the way. We stand in the fullness of a new covenant with our covenant-keeping partner, with Jesus, who paid the price. He paid it all. And the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him, and he in us. And so the fullness of God himself is in us. Isn't that awesome? And I just want to point out to you the prophetic doorway over to your right that was built by our precious Phil, who comes over from Cheltenham to play for us and with us. And you can see what the doorway says, enter in. And in so many ways, there's an entering in for us tonight. There's a threshold that we are crossing. And the newness of that, you know, we've been hearing about it already tonight as we've gone through those baptismal waters again. And as we've ascended into a higher place, that the full access has been made. Full access is there for us right into the Holy of Holies, where God himself dwells. And as I was preparing, I just knew in my heart that the Kadosh song was going to be important for us tonight. Very awesome and very beautiful. Adonai. Elohim, oh, the Almighty God, the Holy One of Israel. Wow, wow, wow. Who was and is to come. That's our God. Whew. And as we fix our eyes on him, as we lock gazes, even right now, again, as you turn your spirit inwardly, and as you turn your spirit towards Jesus and look at him and gaze upon him, upon the fullness of the Godhead who was and is to come, the eternal nature of their goodness that will never end, will never ever come to an end. This is who our Father is. This is who our Jesus is. This is who the Spirit of God is to us, our provision eternally. Amen, Lord. As we gaze upon him, our circumstances come into the right perspective, don't they? Well, I did prepare a short word. You know, Liz and I, we do wait upon the Lord for these meetings. And so what we bring is something that, you know, we genuinely feel from the Lord is on his heart. And then there's always that surrender. We always prepare, but you always let it go as well, because it's so important that we are obedient and open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because we need him. We need his power. We need his touch. We need his presence here. We need you, Holy Spirit. And so it's just so tremendous when the Holy Spirit takes over and then we can be led by him. And there's just been that thread there tonight, as I've listened in my heart and listened in my spirit, I thought, Lord, you are taking us to a higher place. You really are. And so I wanted to share with you, I mean, last year, most of you will know that I wrote a book and published it. And as I've got the book with me at the front for a reason, because I wanted to show you something. But the book itself was really the culmination of a journey for me. And I wrote the book like a journey. And at the heart of the journey was and is the pursuit of Jesus. You know, the most important of our callings. It's the call of our lives to pursue him and to know him. And don't we know that he leaves us many times just slightly dissatisfied? He reveals himself to us. He gives us a taste of who he is. And in that tasting of him, you know, the word declares, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And his very goodness satisfies on a level that nothing else can and nothing else does. But it creates an appetite. Isn't that right, Liz? that creates such an appetite. And so that you know, those high places where we sense his presence, we may even encounter him. And you know, it's so important that little by little our spirits do become attuned to the presence of the Lord. When he's nearby, when he's close to us, that our spirit learns to recognize his nearness, the very sweetness of his presence. And little by little, I believe that as God's people, this is what the Holy Spirit is coaching us in and teaching us to know, that he's close by. But he loves us to pursue him. He loves us to desire him with all of our hearts. And so there is that hungering, and there is that wanting to be where he is, and desperately wanting him to be where we are, and doing what we have to in our lives to prepare a habitation for him, a place for him in our hearts, making room for him, making time for him, even making that special place for him in the natural, where we can come apart for a little while and spend time with him. So I wrote something of my journey in the mantle of purity. And for those of you that have read the book, I'm going to touch very briefly on some of the things that I wrote in there. But to move on, though, to some of the deeper things, the deeper revelation that came after I'd written the book. And this is where I felt like we would end up, really. However we got there, and if you know, Holy Spirit changed the message and pushed this one off the agenda, it would have come up another time, and that's totally okay. You know, we're always, like I said, always really just wanting to know what Jesus is saying right now, and what's his word for us right now, because each one of you is so precious to him. And you know, we do these meetings with a great sense of responsibility before the Lord, because you're his people. And it's an honor, and it's one of the greatest privileges that you could ever have, is to have a gathering like this one, and to make it available for Jesus to touch his own people and to meet with you where you need to be met with, on those deep, deep levels. And so, yeah, so my book, The Mantle of Purity, and the core of the book was, as some of you will know, I after years of pursuing relationship with Jesus and taking me through many wonderful high places of experience and encounter, and encountering the Holy Spirit face to face, I saw I'd had a lot of tremendous experiences in God. But the desire for Jesus was increasing through my life. And I think that's one of the things to say, that we're never too old. We're never too young either. And there is no limit, really, to what Jesus has for us. And so we're not to be put in a box or defined by anything, gender, age, any sort of thing that could come around you and make you feel, but these things can't be for me. It's not true. He so loves you, so, so desires to be with you. And so there was I on my pursuit. And even as I was driving here today, drove down from Lincoln, I was coming around the M25, and as I'm sure happens to many of you, it sometimes happens to me, I just saw an amazing picture in the clouds. And what I saw was, it was like a woman in full flight. She was running, and you could see her beautiful gown like billowing out behind her. And in front of her was a dove. Oh, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And I looked at that and I thought, Lord, that is just so, so where it's at, that we're running hard after you. You know, the words that says that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. And so that pursuit of him is a tremendous reward for us in that. And so at a certain point in my journey, I had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Now, the first one, it wasn't the first encounter I'd had with him, but it was the first one where I saw him face-to-face. And that was incredible. And as I'm sure Liz would agree, when you start, you know, sharing about these encounters publicly, you start going into them again. So excuse me if I just fall off my perch. There he came in front of me, and I knew he was the king. He had dark shoulder-length hair, and he had the crown on his head, but it was the fact that he looked me in the eyes. Just for a moment, he looked at me into the depths of my eyes. And, you know, if I lingered on that even just for a moment, it's just such a profound experience. It's so difficult to articulate what that means to you, what it meant to me. And many times I've found that, you know, even in difficult moments, times when things are really hard, I bring up experiences like this. I'll go back into an encounter like that. I'll remember it again, because Jesus doesn't operate in the realm of time. And it's an eternal place that he occupies. And so even remembering the encounter and looking again and seeing him before me and seeing his eyes and seeing him looking at me, the steadying influence of that was tremendous and is tremendous. You feel the full stability of the foundational nature of who God is come into you. And no matter what storm you're in or what you're going through, his peace and his stability supersedes all of that, because he is from an eternal kingdom which is superior, and we're in that kingdom now to receive power from it to rule and reign in this one. And so there is tremendous strength to be drawn from the presence of God, which is why, and you know, pursuing God is one thing, but knowing how to create an atmosphere that's your special place with him. It's going to be different for each one of us. You'll know scientifically that as human beings, we vibrate on a certain frequency. And because of that, you know, in worship, there is a frequency about worship that, and maybe it's different for different ones of us, but certain sounds and certain types of songs will elevate your ability to connect into the presence of God. And I just encourage you tonight to pay attention to that. You know, don't become concerned about what other people enjoy or what works for them. The most important thing that you could find out is what works for you, and to really intentionally allow yourself the joy of dwelling in that place. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Dwell there. The word also says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And one of the wonderful keys that I have learned is that he is delighted when you're delighted in him. And so, you know, crossing that threshold, you know, we've talked a little bit about that tonight, and there is the doorway, you know, just in front of us. Enter in. That threshold for you into his presence will consist of the kind of worship and that delights your heart and that helps you to open up your heart to him, no matter what your circumstances are or what you're going through. He wants to connect with you, and worship is a huge, huge key, as we know. Anyway, I mustn't go off on that tangent, otherwise I shan't get through what I had actually prepared to say. But the pursuit, yeah, and Jesus coming in front of me, and he placed the mantle of purity onto my life. And I, even though he didn't speak to me, I knew what the mantle was, and I knew that the purity, because as he placed the mantle on me, the experience of it, I felt the purity of Jesus himself going into me. And the experience of that was so powerful and so beautiful. You know, really, truly, that scripture came alive to me. I tasted how good he actually is, because incredible fulfillment just cascaded through my whole being. And I learned a really powerful truth that holiness is the fruit of being filled with the purity of Jesus himself as you abide in him. So as you abide in Jesus, so I touched a place in Jesus that afternoon where I was in a time of worship in a corporate setting like this one, and Jesus came before me, and as he touched me, he physically touched me and put the mantle on me, the passage of scripture, John 15, where this marvelous mystery of learning what it means to abide in the vine, I went through the fullness of what that feels like because he came into me and I was filled with him in that moment. It was, yeah, just a beautiful, powerful experience. So Jesus's purity, I was just saying, wasn't I, that I learned from this that holiness is the fruit, it's a fruit of being filled with the purity of Jesus himself as we abide in him. And the awesome thing was that holiness, that the power of it was so incredible that I felt myself being totally set free. I was just so free. I didn't have a massive past. But even if you have, what I know is that there is enough power in the person of Jesus, in the substance of who he is, to set you free. Freedom isn't holiness isn't a straitjacket of self-control where we try to govern our lives by a set of rules and restrictions, as some may have supposed. Some people think that that's what holiness must be, but it isn't. Holiness is actually tremendous liberty because you're free. You are free, and there's nothing that the enemy can do. He has no hold on you anymore in that area of your life. You are free because you're pure. And purity and holiness isn't naivety. It's not childlikeness. There is a nobility that is reinstated within us as the power of God fills us, and we begin to taste something which to me is just so profound. It was as I went through the experience, it was like I felt like, and I didn't understand it fully at the time, and I moved into that understanding, in the days that followed. But I felt like I had touched a place in Jesus where I was being restored to the way I was always meant to be. So it was incredibly powerful. So in the weeks that followed, again, just testifying here, I was able to read a passage from Francis Metcalfe's book, the second in her trilogy, that it was written by James Maloney, who was collating the writings of this very powerful woman of God that lived in, I'm not quite sure when she went to heaven, but she was certainly alive in the 40s and the 50s. And so Frances had a very powerful ministry up in the mountains in California. And she knew herself as the bride of Christ in a tremendous way. And she and the ladies who formed the Golden Candlestick, they had a powerful intercessory ministry, but they also knew the presence of God and the glory of God in a profound way. They had a profound walk before God. And so I was devouring Frances Metcalfe's journaling some weeks later. And I was astounded to discover that in one of the early encounters that Frances had with Jesus, and she had many, but in one of the very early encounters with him, she went through a similar experience as me. And it happened to her in a different way, but the heart of it was that she was restored to what she called. She knew that Jesus had, as his purity touched her life, that she'd been returned to a state of pristine innocence. and that she was walking again as the second Eve. So there is a level of healing and a level of renewal available in Jesus, where whether you're a man or a woman, as we touch that place in him, the fullness of the Son of Man in his power and his purity comes into us, and we can be returned to our original state, the way that, as a man or a woman, the way that God designed us to be before the fall. And I knew I tasted that. When I read that in Francis's book, in my own heart, I was able to say that is what happened to me. So that's why I wrote the book. I wrote the book. The encounter is at the heart of the book. And I knew that Jesus wanted me to write the book because the message of purity and the message of holiness is one that I know in, with all of my heart is going to multiply. And there's going to be a great and increasing need because people will need the hope. We may feel like we're walking and not doing too badly, you know, in that area of our lives, but there's going to be tremendous and increasing need among those who don't yet know him. There's hope that we can be utterly and totally transformed. So I have savored that revelation. I have carried it in my heart and in my spirit ever since. And I know that because I've seen it, I know what happened to me, but I've also seen in Jesus himself that place of redeemed manhood. I know that as Jesus increasingly imparts this aspect of himself into us in increasing measure over the weeks, over the months, over the years that are ahead, what's going to happen is that the glory of the Godhead, the glory of God himself is being installed within us. As in this one area, as we carry the essence of Jesus himself, as he puts into us that which we have no ability to come up with by ourselves, no self-control, no trying to do the right things, no, not even repenting over and over, not even believing with all of our heart, that there's a place in which Jesus will sovereignly meet with us. And in his goodness and in his kindness, he is releasing provision from his own nature into us so that we become like him. We become transformed. And the glory of God is resting on us and beginning to shine and become very visible. And what the Holy Spirit's been saying to me is that he's creating a hunger within his people right now for this, increasingly stirring a longing and a hunger. And even as I'm speaking, maybe this is helping you to identify something that you've longed for in your own hearts and you didn't even know it. The day that Jesus came to me and put that mantle of purity on me, I did not even know that I needed it. I didn't know. But Jesus did. And that's the truth. He has so much more for us, but we have no way to know the fullness of what's in him and what's available to us. But the key to it, of course, is his love for us. And we don't have to work hard for this. We don't have to earn it. He's already paid the price. But there is something in the pursuing him that blesses his heart so deeply because he's called us as his bride. We are the bride of Christ. And so that day, as Jesus appeared before me as the king, he came as the king. He put his own nature inside of me that day so that I could go deeper into the preparation process as the bride of Christ. So I became a little bit more like him that day. And I go back to that experience many, many times, I do. And I also marvel that this was the first encounter with Jesus face to face, and I marvel that he chose this manner of mystery to unfold to me. And I just want to encourage each one of you that there's the precious things that you've received from the Lord, the things that Jesus has shown to you, particularly the early things. This is something I've been learning recently, that early encounters, early power encounters, early experiences that you've had with God, they are very significant because they're speaking of your calling. They are foundational to your coming to understand more about who you are and the work that God has got in store for you. So in the name of Jesus right now, I just bless those experiences that you've had, however small. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just begin to stir those up in the hearts of your people, that they will come fresh and alive in Jesus' name. That where those deep treasures have become possibly even slightly buried through the weight of care or the cares of this world, or all manner of burdens and responsibilities, anything like that, that in the name of Jesus, that the precious rain right now and the weight of the Holy Spirit will just begin to rest on those things, and there'll be some green shoots in Jesus' name, that your calling into the deep, deep things of God would begin to activate in a greater measure. So I moved on from those things of understanding, and obviously I knew from the Lord that I should write a book. I'd had a word perhaps more than a decade before that I would write a book, but now I had the leading, and I knew what the book was going to be about. So the book, The Mantle of Purity. And around that time, I just started to have an increasing sense that Jesus wasn't finished with the message. I just sort of felt like there was going to be more that would come. And as the book was being prepared, I got in touch with a prophetic artist, Ollie Pengilly. Some of you might know him. I'd seen his work, and I was really praying about the cover. And I knew it was important. And because of the way the encounter happened to me, and it was so precious to me, and I cherish that. I cherish every time something's happened, something that's come from God himself for me. I just hang on to those things with all of my heart and all of my might. But I knew the cover was important because I'd seen Jesus come to me, and he'd literally put the mantle around my shoulders, and I saw it, so I knew exactly what it looked like and everything. I felt from Jesus that the cover of the book I wanted somehow to be able to convey to people what I'd seen. And obviously, that's what Ollie painted. It was magnificent to me. I did tell him some of the details, but very little. And we had the conversation over the telephone, and I didn't actually meet Ollie until probably a year later, so we didn't even see each other. So these things happened. In the best way that we could manage it, considering he didn't live nearby. But I really know that the Holy Spirit was in it, because Ollie painted the what I saw, that was to become the cover. But when he sent the first proofs through, I was blown away, because I could see in the mantle a lion looking out of it. It's really clear. And you'll be rushing over to the book table later on to have a little look. I hope you do. You don't have to buy the book, but you're welcome to go and have a look at and see if you can see what is there. But there is a lion staring out of the mantle. Oh, wow. Wow. Isn't that awesome? It's like, oh my gosh. This is how awesome God is. It's like, aren't we prone to think, okay, mantle of purity, yep, check. Got that, possibly that was that and move on. But no, the depths of the mysteries of God and who he is. Now, for the sake of time, we're doing okay with time, but I just want to move on, because it would be nice to leave some time at the end for you guys to soak and just you know, do some business with the Lord. I also, oh, somebody's phone desperately. Is this a different phone? Is it? I actually think that's... It's okay. It's an alarm, but that's the second phone to go off. God is calling. God's on the phone. I'm not being facetious. Yeah, there is that's okay. Don't fret about it. If they just keep being a pain, just put them outside. But those phones are ringing. God is speaking to us. So the painting. The next thing I saw is you can clearly see the face of a man. It's there. It's very obvious. And then within a short time, I saw the eagle is there. And then last of all is the ox. Yeah, they are. Pardon? I did say that, darling. Lulu's not paying attention. No, so that the lion, the eagle, the ox, and the face of a man is in the mantle. Now, I spoke to Ollie, and I saw the lion and the face of the man, first of all. It took a while for me to see the other two, but they are definitely there. And I spoke to Ollie a short time after I'd seen the lion, and I was talking to him, and I was saying, gosh, Ollie, it's so amazing that, you know, you've incorporated the lion. And so his response to that was, are you telling me that I have painted a lion in the mantle? I said, yes, you have. He said, well, I did not know it. I didn't know it. He didn't know it. So isn't the Holy Spirit at work? Without knowing that he had done so, Ollie painted the four living creatures into the mantle of purity. So I knew, I've known that and carried that for a good long while. It's at least a year. I've known in my spirit that there's something profound, there's something so deep that's opening up for us as we go through this gateway, as we go through. So, you know, the message of purity, the message of holiness, it has its application, which is obvious to us. And I'm just going to let you know that and the just the beauty of the mantle of purity, that story, just lay upon you and soak into your heart and all the hope that represents. But there's something to come that is much, much deeper than just having that personal status of purity and holiness and the substance of Jesus within us for our own sake. There's something much deeper than that. So obviously, I've gone to scripture and looked to see about the living creatures. And the wonderful thing about them, they're mentioned several times in scripture. And they are deeply, deeply, profoundly connected to the throne of God. That's where they are. Ezekiel, flawless prophet of God, he writes about them in Ezekiel 1. I'm not going to read these passages out, but if you would like to later, just read them and soak them in for yourselves. They're only mentioned two or three times in scripture, and there is speculation that the seraphim and the cherubim are the living creatures because of the descriptions. They're so similar. But without knowing for sure, and I don't know for sure, what I do know is that where the living creatures are mentioned, they have the face of the lion, the man, the eagle, the ox, But they're in this profound place, close to the throne of God. So Ezekiel sees them. It's one of the first things that is shared as Ezekiel opens up. They're in exile. I'm not going to read the passage out. It would take too long. One of the profound things about them, though, that Ezekiel shares is that wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they go. So the living creatures follow the leading of the Spirit of God. They're profoundly and deeply connected. So as Ezekiel sees that it's like the heavens are opened up, and he sees all these incredible things, and he writes in detail about what the living creatures look like. But then, as he's finished talking about their physical appearance, he'd see, here we are, Ezekiel 1, verse 26, and above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone, or the likeness of the throne, in appearance, excuse me, like a sapphire stone. As the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. So they are there. They are close to the throne of God. And perhaps this passage we know more, a little more clearly, and we've been singing about it tonight. Revelation 4, John has the incredible vision of the throne room of heaven. It's just so powerful. I looked, and after all these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I can't pretend that I understand completely what Jesus is trying to say through this. But what I know is that as the purity, so the purity of the Godhead, the purity of Jesus himself, and the word says the fullness of the Godhead dwells within him. So as Jesus placed that mantle of purity on me, and so many times, like Liz, I know that experiences and things that happen to me, they're representative. Yes, they are personal, and I treasure them with all of my heart, but I also go into an intercessory kind of walk. It's like an identificational place where I know that the Spirit of God is leading. And Jesus is leading. He's at the head of the train here. He is, and this is where he's going. So there is that following as we search for him and as we look for him and as we long for him with all of our hearts. And so in that mystery, Jesus placed the mantle on me, and there was an impartation from the living God of something of himself into me, which produced holiness, which I've already said is holiness sets you free. But the word holiness, kadosh in Hebrew, hagios in the Greek, it means, it has to do with being set apart. It has to do with absolute consecration and sanctity. There's a separation about it. And as we think of the throne of God, where the living creatures are, where they have their habitation, and the people who saw them were the prophets, Ezekiel and John. And what they saw was so meaningful, it was so powerful, it was so revelatory that we've never matched it. To this day, there hasn't been a revelation of the caliber and of the depth of what these prophets saw. After Ezekiel saw the living creatures, he received his commission. There was a commission that came out of the depth of the very deep place around the throne of God. And so the powerful mystery of Jesus, so they're a holy Godhead. There's a separation about them that is like fire. You cannot touch it. You cannot come in a haphazard manner before the holy throne of God. And yet Jesus, who is full of the Godhead, he is the fullness of it in himself, that unapproachable place. His shed blood has made the way. That veil has been torn in two, and we now live under a superior covenant with our covenant-keeping partner. And so that place where we couldn't approach him, we couldn't come near the throne, we couldn't get near the government of God, with his own blood, he cleansed away the thing that kept us out of the Father's presence, our fallen nature, the fallenness of us, all our carnal, old wineskin. The whole thing has been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. And the Spirit of God is saying to us in this hour that there is a depth of renewal, of restoration that we not only can, but we are being restored and beginning to walk again like Adam and Eve did before the fall. That's our inheritance. This is what we're being called into. And the glory of that and the power of that, we are going to shine. And I've seen it by faith, and I'm starting to see it in the natural, that men and women, young men and women, older men and women, are going to come forth as the bride, but be so gleaming with the power of our holiness, which has come from a holy God, the like of which has never been seen. It's never been seen. And the revelation of it has been saved for such a time as this. When the Lord said that when he would come back, that it would be as it was in the days of Noah. when the Nephilim roamed the earth, and there was the mixture between the human and the divine. And the giants came forth. So the level of defilement was so intense, God had to wash the whole of it away. But Jesus said, it's going to be like that again when I come. But he's not left us without hope. He's not leaving us without a part to play in lifting his own self up. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so the living Christ, the Holy God from the Godhead, who dwells in the Holy of Holies amidst the fire, it's so cleanly, so clean, and so pristine in that place that nothing defiled can ever go there. But Jesus is filling us with his own self. So that thing that kept us away from him, kept us out of that place, has been dealt with. And now Jesus sees himself in us. He sees himself in us. And that's what gives him such joy, such incredible joy. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's Psalm 24. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. The living creatures live and move and have their being around the throne of God himself. I know that the prophetic painting of them into this pure mantle that came from Jesus is acting somewhat as a sign to us of the place that we're being called into, that that's our rightful place, to abide around the throne of God itself, where, and from that place, in that place, we hear the secrets of God's heart, and we receive as the scepter of the king is extended towards us. The Psalms also say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We'll see him. And so for those of you who, let me back up and say, when I had this encounter, I was in a house of prayer, and it was a 3-day holy convocation, as it happens, which I looked back on the other day and thought, that's interesting. It was a holy convocation. And so God is, he's serious about the holiness of his holiness. But he's removed the barrier so that we can taste of it for ourselves and walk in it and be completely transformed, but also to approach the Holy of Holies, where the veil has been taken away and we have full access now to him. And like the living creatures, we cry out in adoration, dwelling upon the wonder and the beauty of who he actually is. And so, as we sang the Kadosh song tonight, you're a holy God. And you are set apart, a people unto yourself. Jesus, you are placing and fill yourself, the fullness of yourself you're making available to us. You're providing us with the power that we need to be so transformed and to enter into the fullness of your presence. And I'm going to close on this one last treasure, really. This is, as I've meditated on what Jesus has done for me, And as I increasingly become aware of it, of the importance of it, I was meditating on the passage from Psalm 110, and that my people shall volunteer in the day of my power, and that we'll worship him in the beauty of holiness. Actually, let me just pull that scripture up really quick. In a moment. Psalm 110. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. I learned from this experience where the mantle was placed on me that holiness is beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, it's so good. And like I said, it's no straitjacket. And it's an incredibly important mantling and equipping that comes from the Godhead. In the day of your power, Lord, your people will volunteer. And now I understand the second part of that passage in a much greater measure. From the womb of the morning, in the beauties of holiness. You will have your youth. Like the dew of the morning. And the dew comes in the dawn. It's such a precious, precious time. This is what I wrote. As the dew has a sparkling beauty, so your people have a holy excellence and charm about them. Lord, we come arrayed by grace, shining with holiness, and for number, freshness, beauty, and purity. We are as the dewdrops which come mysteriously from the morning's womb. There's a refreshing that's going to come from God's people as we encounter the living God and as the purity of Jesus himself. Yes, it was an encounter that I had personally, but like I said, I know in my heart that this is a forerunning experience of what Jesus wants to do for all of his people. And the transforming power of that produces in us a holy excellence. There's a charm and a freshness and a beauty that's so sparkling and wonderful that it's like the dew which appears out of nowhere. It's there. Who hasn't gone out in the early morning and seen the dewdrops clinging to the rose petal? Washing the grass. It's a light refreshing that nourishes and feeds the earth. So as we seek the Lord, I encourage you, we've got a few minutes left now, and I'm going to ask Mark and the guys to come back up. Just play gently. Just let this word settle in your heart like the dewdrops. And know that your life can be washed and cleansed in a way that you did not dream was possible. Jesus loves you so much. There's no word of correction from him. No rebuke coming from him. He loves you so much. But he is calling you into that higher place with him and the power of what he wants to do for us as his people, as he empowers us and fills us with that which we need that can only come from him, that transports us and we begin to ascend the holy mountain. We can go higher with God. We can go higher with Jesus when we're filled with him. When we've, in some wonderful way, the way that only the Holy Spirit can do, he comes alongside us and shows us that which we have need of and we didn't even realize. How can we ask for that which we don't know that we need? But in this area of your life, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, that you are so good to me. Just fill your people right now. Just calm their hearts. Wash them clean. Impart to them from the strength of your own being. How delightful that must be for you, Lord, when you see yourself in us. You see us come amazed, full of wonder, like children as we press into your presence, perhaps for the very first time. You see us, Lord. You see us. And you gave us that way we needed to get there in the first place. You're so good. But the dignity that you're restoring to your people, Lord, and the power. Lord, no wonder you call us, like David, to be with you in the early hours. As we're there in the womb of the morning, our holy presence, as we abide in you and draw down from the stature of who you are, is like the dew, refreshing a weary, careworn world. And we just receive that in our lives, Lord. And I pray as my brothers and sisters go home that they'll be changed, that they would know, like Song of Solomon says, we've been set like a seal upon your heart. You have burned your own self. You burnished your own presence with the impression of who we are because we're so dear to you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Oh, give my brothers and sisters, Lord, joy. Great joy. I just encourage you in the final moments of our time. If there are things that have come between you and the sweet presence of Jesus, if for some reason you feel like you daren't approach that throne, even though the way's been made for you, perhaps you feel that your life is weighed down with some things that shouldn't be there. Anything that you know deep down in the privacy of your own heart, that you want to just release it. You want to give those things to Jesus and receive from him in return all that you need. He is the one that gives you the power to live a holy life. Just receive that from him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as you cleanse and wash and and heal. Lord, you promise that the pure in heart will see you. It's not complicated. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. If anyone did want prayer, we've got 5 more minutes before we really need to start saying bye-bye. So we're happy to pray for you if you really need it. And we've just got a few little minutes left before our time together is over. So God bless you. We love you. Thank you for coming. We've prayed for you this week. We didn't know who would be here, but you have been prayed for. We really honour you for making your way here, wherever you've come from. May God go with you and bless you in Jesus' name.
You are king.